When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We're getting into that that Christmas vibe of stuff. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Reginald Adetula hanging out with you. Hope you're having a wonderful Friday as we are continuing to move towards. We're closing in on. We're bull rushing towards. We're
barreling towards.
Barreling towards. Texans.
Headed towards.
Chiefs. Headed towards. Texas Chiefs tomorrow at noon. We'll talk a little bit more Texas here in a second as Dan Orlovsky of ESPN had some concerns about this offense. Want to see if you agree with them. 713-572-4610. But before we get there,
breaking news from Sports Radio 610 is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
We're seeing multiple of the newsbreakers, multiple of the big names in baseball making it official. Christian Walker is going to be signed by your Houston Astros pending a physical.
Bob Nightingale reported 36 seconds ago, it is done.
Okay.
Christian Walker has agreed to a three-year, $60 million contract with the Houston Astros. I don't mind the money.
Not at all.
I really like the acquisition.
He's a good player, man. Yeah. So it does feel like, maybe the Nolan Arenado thing is done, and maybe more importantly, Alex Bregman. That feels like that is completely out of play. Isak Paredes, I know that he ends up playing in various places, but it's third and first are really the big ones. And if you got a first baseman in Christian Walker, one who, offensively is good, defensively is also really good, three successive Golden Gloves in the last 3 years, it feels like you're kind of done on the idea of having Alex Bregman return as a Houston Astro.
Yeah, no, that's a done deal. We could just come to grips with it. You have your third baseman in Paredes. You have your first baseman in Christian Walker. Both productive players, both great defensive players.
Something that was made very abundantly clear about this Astros team, that was what they wanted, was they wanted to make sure that if they got anyone that was still defensively, that's something that I took from the Alex Baum kind of comparisons where I was like, nope, don't want that guy.
And 3 years, $60 million, that is not bad, man, for a guy that has been consistently productive. Yes, he's going on 34 or has turned 34.
Yeah, this will be his age 34 season coming up.
But no drop in production in the last 3 or 4 years, certainly the last three. Now, it's not all going to be sunshine and rainbows. You always have to give up some things. They're going to give up two draft picks because he was going to be, I guess, what's the term? They exercised the option or whatever it was on him. You did give up Kyle Tucker as part of this deal, and apparently you're going to keep or at least try to keep Framber Valdez.
We'll see how that goes. But you think about it offensively, right? That has been the calling card of this Astros team throughout the long-standing run that they've had. You look at the offensive options that they have and you start naming them, but I mean, and there's still very clear needs in this offseason for that team, but you start looking at the offensive options. I don't know how early you want to put Altuve in there, but clearly you still have Yordan, Yainer's, Diaz, and then you add Christian Walker, who can do this at a pretty high level. Isak Paredes is no slouch, right? Yeah. Like you've got some options to be able to cobble together, and cobble together is probably unfair, but to put together a team that still has an opportunity to contend, particularly in this AL West that I don't know is terrifying. The one team that I always have questions about is the Seattle Mariners, because they always seem to have the talent, but I don't know if they ever really put it together. We'll see what the new manager there is able to do. But no, this still team seems like a team that would have an opportunity, assuming that Dana Brown does what I think we all want him to do, which is now, hey, can you do something about this outfield? Like, if you can give me something with this outfield, particularly like some outfielders that have some bats with, that are coming along with them, not just gloves. You can work with here. You can work with some here.
Yeah, and then the window's open, and they're not hiding it. As I mentioned, losing draft picks is not great for a team that doesn't have a lot of prospects. They've lost draft picks the last couple of years. But they're still fighting for what they can this coming season.
Yeah. All right. So that is the breaking news. If you missed it, again, Christian Walker, first baseman previously with the Arizona Diamondbacks, will be the new Astros first baseman. I don't know if that pending physical still remains in there, if we're done here, but it's a 3-year, $60 million deal, as reported by Bob Nightingale, as well as others who are breaking this story. All right. Let's go back to your Houston Texans ahead of this game tomorrow that you can hear here on Sports Radio 610. Dan Orlovsky of ESPN, he's the former quarterback. You remember the time that he ran out the back of the end zone that one time?
Yes,
you remember
I that? Do.
Okay, cool. He's also somebody who has a very bland palate. He's notoriously...
Oh, that's right.
Notoriously eats like a
mac and cheese and hot dogs.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
all like chicken with no seasoning and stuff, right?
Mac and cheese and weenies.
And by the way, that's not like racial. Like, he just genuinely just doesn't... He eats like chicken with no seasoning and stuff. It's
and also the
weird.
Guy, until Davis Mills, had the single worst practice I've ever seen by a Houston Texans quarterback.
Huh.
During training camp, I think he had...
He do wonder why black people smell so good. He feel like all that's black right, that people
too.
Smell good.
That too.
That is fair. So he's an appreciator of like good smells, apparently, though. Mm-hmm. So I can say that. How much do you appreciate the ball knowledge in this perspective? This is Dan Orlovsky with his kind of concern about this Texans offensive line in this matchup.
My concern is that strength matches up with Houston's weakness. Mm-hmm. If I'm Houston, because, and it's specifically the inside, the guards of the Houston Texans are going to get absolutely abused in the games. The interior has been the issue all week, but to my point, the guards. And all Spags is going to do is run what we call these pick stunts, where a linebacker is going to wrap and pin the hip of that guard, and then that defensive tackle. Guys, three offensive linemen are blocking absolutely nobody. Like, this has got to drive Bobby Slowick absolutely out of his freaking mind, because it happens all the time. Sometimes it doesn't even mean a pressure is going to happen, a blitzer. They'll just do those internal stunts. If you're Kansas City and you're going to get Chris Jones doing this with a Mike Dana or George Karlaftis, that guard is looking out to his right. Dude, you should probably at some point get your eyes back inside, because here comes that loop. And again, both guards blocking absolutely nobody. One of them's on the ground. The interior play, the guards are going to get picked and stunted in games so much.
Yeah.
And even then, you know Spags is going to show you more, and he's going to say, you're not ready or planned for it, and we'll get home.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He seems disgusted. Like just like these guys, they're not. They're like,
look,
on the
one
ground.
Of them on the ground.
and then he says they're going to get absolutely abused. How do you really feel?
Does he not feel like a lot of folks around here? Like
he
that,
does.
That. Even when we talk about this offensive line looking better, all of that is with asterisk, because we know that this offensive line has not been up to the standard of any other offensive lineman in the league or offensive lines in the league. Yeah, man, I think that he clearly has a point here, and yes. The point that you have to really lean on is the tone of voice that he brings there, because,
disgusted.
Yeah, man, There's a lot of those moments where you look at the offensive line and it's just like you're not picking up stunts. And you're, I mean, this is the basic things that you need to be able to do. And some of it, I will, and maybe I'm being too kind in this regard. Let me know if you think that's what I'm doing here. Some of it I do wonder is like the continuity that this team has not forged. But then you can again be mad about, hey, that's probably why you all needed to have your asses in training camp, yeah. Right? But the continuity and being able to have that familiarity with the guy next to you and those types of things. But no, there's way too often where passing there's no flow in passing off defenders as they rush, and then when they add stunts and games and those types of things up front, there's so often that they're not handling that up well, and it's just not. It's not sound, right? Like the actual mechanics of what they are doing is not sound. And I'm sure that for a quarterback watching that film who's covering all these teams around the league looks at this team as like, this is particularly bad. And of course, when you come up against an interior defensive lineman like Chris Jones, mm-hmm. And a defensive coordinator like Spagnuolo who knows how to attack the weak points of the defense, this is going to be first and foremost one of those things that was coming up, I'm sure, earlier on this week in those meetings, like, yo, middle of the offensive line, let's see if we can apply pressure to C.J. Stroud up the middle.
And I think it's very important to note this about Dan Orlovsky. He was watching film of just Sunday's game, just the Dolphins.
Yeah, because
this line.
At one point.
Like
when
this line that's going to be right. In Kansas City. It's not like, well, they've stunk all year, as we've talked about.
Yes.
You know, or the interior is really, really, really bad and all that. No, he was looking at this game and showing dudes that were just flat lost. I guess it was Shaq Mason did a little dipsy-do, a little... you know, a little pirouette, if you will, on some stunt. And he's like, come on, man. I mean, you know, he's like, what are you doing? Another one, when Shaq Mason was looking to his right, trying to find somebody to block, and a dude was coming straight up on his left.
Yes.
So it wasn't like, oh, they've got issues, but maybe this is going to fix it. No, he was looking at this last game. And it did make me think a little bit more, because I've been saying it's kind of like their last stand. And like, if the offensive line, if this line can't figure it out now, they're just not going to.
Well,
he was saying, no, they're just bad now.
And the tough thing about it is, like, again, you look at some of the guys that you have and you're like, is it that they can't do it? And with some of those instances, I have questions, right? Like, Shaq Mason has had a long career and you've seen him do this before. But I do wonder if it's just like, are we getting to a point where we're over the hill there?
Yeah.
But I feel like actually, let me just ask you the question straight up. Do you think with a majority or with all these dudes that this is just that they can't do it? Excluding Laremy Tunsil, because I feel like Laremy Tunsil deserves it.
He doesn't want to run block as often as he should.
But I feel like over the last couple of weeks, he himself has been pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Right? I know that DJ Bieniemy wrote a piece about how, you know, that draft night, you know, debacle mm-hmm. continues to kind of be a fuel for him in some sorts. And I thought about it. I was like, yeah, we have not talked about Laremy Tunsil. The pre-snap stuff has not been there. And he's been, you know, the pass blocking is good. He has the power to be able to affect in the run game. Mm-hmm. How consistently does he do that is a question that I know that you're bringing up. But he deserves that. Okay, so maybe we put Laremy Tunsil aside. Maybe.
But can they not do it? I think Shaq, I mean, it's always hard to say. It's always hard to see. But he's not the same player that he was by any stretch. And let's be honest. I mean, how many games has Jarrett Patterson played center? How many games has Tytus Howard been back at left guard? So I think I said this, you know, sort of their last stand. I really believe that because we opened the show at 10 a.m. talking about, if things go right, you know, and you get the same C.J. Stroud or the hints that you saw against the Dolphins, and obviously the defense is doing its thing, and you get some receivers doing, but it still comes back to the offensive line. Like, they have to show progress this week, or else this offensive line, Dan Orlovsky might have an aneurysm, because if they don't show some improvement here, then we know the story. It isn't going to get better.
No. Yeah. And that's where, like, we've been doing this for a long time. That's where that settles in. Like, how likely do you think it's actually going to be that all these guys are now getting on the same page, and in this week they have figured out that, hey, when you're in a situation and the protection is called, and you look up and there's only one guy with these three offensive linemen that you have here that you need to get over and help on the other side where I'm sure there's more pressure. Like, how much is that going to happen? I'm not certain, but you have, like, that's what you have to hope for. Like, you have mm-hmm. to hope that's that level of progress. But, yeah, clear concern for me, especially since you have Charles Mennu, who is now coming back for this Chiefs team and who was helping them apply a ton of pressure. You saw that against the Browns where they were on Jameis Winston's neck, bubble. Yeah. They were on his keister getting into that backfield. you would absolutely hate to see CJ Stroud in that circumstance, because that would represent a lack of progress. That would a backslide of sorts, and that would definitely not bode well for getting a win in this game, or really what that would mean for this team in the postseason, I think.
He said they're going to get absolutely abused. That's a direct quote.
And I hope that he's wrong. Like, what is the amount of abuse, I guess, for lack of a better term, that you're willing to deal with? Because that's been the name of the game with this offensive line. It's not, oh, are they going to go and absolutely win? It's just like, how much can we handle that we can actually make some shake with?
No, look, I think, you know, here we go again. And back to where we've been all season long. They've tried several different looks on the offensive line, different personnel. They've seemed to have settled on this. I don't anticipate, you know, Kenyon Green finding a way back into the lineup. So if it doesn't happen now, if this ain't it, then it's going to have to be how far can your defense take you.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Man, the offensive line against this defensive line, one of the big keys to this one as the Texans face off against the Kansas City Chiefs. Tomorrow, you'll start the broadcast at 9 a.m. here on Sports Radio 610, getting you ready for that one. All right, coming up next, we're about that time where we get into our lunchtime confessions, and we'll do that on Sports Radio 610.